So, this is a selfish program. What I do in OA, I do for fun and for free. I used to do stuff for money, and that was fun too. Because of sensitivity I talked to you about, I usually can gauge pretty well the workshop. And I know that I've had a great time with you guys today, and I have felt a fabulous energy. So I don't care what you got out of it. And if you didn't like it, talk to your sponsor. Because I've had a great time, and I'm very grateful. But someone brought up something before the break that I think we should just talk about a little bit, and then we'll go on to something else. Do you mind to say it again? Thank you. Beverly.
Yes, hi. I'm Beverly. I'm a compulsive overeater. So one of the differences I feel I've seen in between AA and OA is community. And I listen to AA speaker tapes, and I hear about the lengths to which they have community and they support one another, taking each other into their homes and, like, really, really being a part of each other's lives. And I don't feel that we have that as strongly in OA. And I don't know why. I thought maybe it has something to do with many OAs don't have any boundaries, and so we're trying to establish boundaries. But I envy it.
Thank you very much. And so just like with everything else in the program, this is individual of what you want, what you like, what you feel is lacking. One of the guys at one of my AA meetings says to the group, he says, "I love you guys a lot, but I don't want to take you home with me." And I'm more or less with Tony. I've never really developed social connections in OA. Early on, I did whatever they told me. So they said, go out with everyone to coffee after the meeting. So I did. But I was very upset because I felt that the meeting was a sacred space and that we were doing high spiritual work. And then we would go into a coffee shop, and while the waitress was pouring the coffee, these people were continuing that conversation. And I just got a reaction like, I just want to do what we do in the rooms. I don't want to dissipate it or spread it. That's not to say that's a bad thing. A lot of people have gotten great stuff at the meetings, after the meetings, the talking, the fellowship. But I have never been here for fellowship. I really use this program like going to temple. Like, this is my spiritual development. And not that they can't mix. I'm sure they can, but not in my case. And I'll tell you why. Unfortunately, because I'm a judgmental person, I also am too sensitive, and I'm aware of a lot of things based on, you know, my experience. And I don't want to get diluted with bullshit. Sorry to say it, but there's some... I don't want to be in the personalities. I only want to be with the principles. So that's my experience. I don't, you know, and I have a lot of great friends in AA and OA, but they've been handpicked as my friends. I don't just love them because they're in program, you know? So I think it's an interesting thing, and I've heard other people say that we don't do fellowship. What I needed, this particular kind of overeater, I needed exactly what was given to me and what I did, which is I came into a room quietly. I sat in the back of the room and cried. People left me alone. I left when I wanted. I came in when I wanted. That's it. For a long time, I didn't even speak in OA until I'd been coming for 6 weeks. And then even though I'd been a lecturer for a living, I'd already been on television, I had a lot of presence. At that first time I spoke, I had written something at home. I got up and I held it in front of my face and I shook and I cried and I sat down. Because I felt you people could really see me. Based on the kind of honesty you were sharing about yourself, I felt you saw me, and I couldn't take too much of it. I just didn't want to be around you too much. My first year, one meeting a week was enough. When my life got better, I needed sometimes 5 meetings a day. But in my suffering, thank you. Keep your distance. No hugging. Boundaries. Like you said, I needed to find where my borders were. Because like the man said about, I knew how to be a tap dancer. I knew how to impress the folks. I could show up and influence and impress you, and you'd like me. That's not what I wanted here. I didn't want to be liked. I wanted to hear something deeper than that. And I'm grateful for how it's been. And maybe I passed up some great friendships, I don't know. But who cares? I mean, you know, it is what it is. So if you're coming for fellowship, that is a good thing. But be careful. I want to warn you. Because the first time one of these people disappoints you, you'll use it as your excuse to run out the door. And I've had people in the program disappoint me. And my message was, that son of a bitch isn't driving me out. Right? No matter what, I deserve my seat. But it's complicated. You know? So it's not about personalities. We're coming here to become more of our divine self, somebody we've been missing. And like we said in the morning, eating to stay missing her instead of letting her listen. So for those who weren't here this morning, someone asked me, and we're going to now go to this name thing again, okay? And what I shared about was, God, there's so many temperature changes. But about, there's an African village where when a woman is pregnant, all of the women in the village come and they sit around, they start humming, feeling vibration, and a song comes out from the group. And they then sing that song to the woman's belly. And that will be that baby's song. When the baby is born, they gather and they sing that song. When they go through maturation, some kind of rite of passage to adulthood, everyone comes together, sings the song. When the person is married, they sing the song for both of them in the couple. When the person dies, they sing their song. There's only one other time in life that they come together to sing the song. And that is when that person has deviated from their own true path. When they've been a thief or a liar or done something that doesn't heighten them but brings them down, everyone comes together to sing them their song, to remind them of who they really are. So it's not about punishment. It's about you just lost your way. Our job in OA is to help each other keep finding our own individual personal way. So we did an exercise this morning where we all went around and first we called out our name as a name of how we were addressed before recovery, maybe by someone else in our life. In my case, I did my mother, and we'll show you what we did, okay, which was I sing it, and the group sings it back to me. So this is how I was called as a child. Judy!
Judy!
Okay, so we won't go through that whole this morning, but that's what we all did. Each person did that, and we all sang them back that song. But the whole object of today has been for you now as a spiritual adult, formulating a new phase of your life, for you to get your name and your song. So don't make it too complicated or have to be very entertaining or anything. Try to stay relaxed, and just when I come to you, sing out your song as it is for you today. Okay? So, and today means today, one day at a time, not for today and the future and all time henceforth, but moment, in this present moment. So let's each take a minute to kind of feel that out. So this is going to be based on what you feel in this moment, plus what you got assimilating all your thinking today. All right, let's come back. Now, I'm going to sort of cheat just because as I was working here, this came to me, and it's something I like, and it just is what it is for today. So I'm sorry, I don't mean for you to try to get cutesy. That's not what I'm wanting to do, but it's what became present for me. So mine is, Hey Jude. Okay.
Don't make it bad.
Well, yeah. That's enough, but that's, yeah.
Om I am.
Om I am.
Adela.
Adela.
T.
T.
Lynn.
Lynn.
Jude.
Jude.
Tisa.
Tisa.
Patricia.
Patricia.
Chris. Chris.
Kathy.
Kathy.
Claudia.
Claudia.
Prima Donna.
Okay. Donna. Donna. The prima Donna.
Stuart.
Janet.
Janet. wait a second.
Hey, Steve.
Hey, Steve.
I'll be there.
I'll be there. Esta Vesta. Esta Vesta.
Ellen.
Ellen.
Hey, Beverly.
Hey, Beverly.
Precious, precious Nikki.
Precious, precious Nikki.
Teddy.
Teddy.
MICKEYBURNS.
KEYBURNS.
Bronte.
Bronte.
Hey, Nikki.
Hey, Nikki.
Diane.
Diane.
Carol.
Carol.
Susan.
Susan.
Mine's a little different, okay?
You've got to sing your song as if your whole life depends on it. Depends on it.
Got to sing your song as if your whole life depends on it, depends on it.
Country Rose.
Country Rose.
Elena Bobena.
Elena Bobena.
That's weird. I was going to say Debbie Bobena.
Whatever you like.
Debbie Bobena.
Debbie Bobena.
Nancy.
Nancy.
Monica.
Monica. Okay. Did everybody, whoever didn't want to, do you want to take a second stab at it? Okay. So, would you like to say anything about the quality of your new song or what your considerations are or what you thought about?
Which name should I use?
Teddy.
Oh, Teddy. Yes, I lost my mom in March, and when I said my name the first time, that was the way she said, Kathy, you know. And she's the only one that could do that because the rest have to call me Catherine. So the other name she gave me was Teddy years and years ago, so that's why I use it the second time.
Great. Okay.
I noticed that my song was softer and gentler to me than the earlier song.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. More grounded, less shrill, right? Okay. Yeah. That's what we carry into recovery.
My first song was a name that my father gave me because he always wanted a boy. Mm-hmm. So it's always trying to work up to be what he expected. And my second song is I'll Be There because that's for me to be present in the moment.
Fabulous. Great. Yes. Remember, we're all here because we're not all there.
I wasn't here for the first part, but I'm a physician, and a lot of people in my community call me Dr. X. And I was a camp counselor probably like 30 years ago, and instead of using our real names, they called us a flower, and my name was Daisy, and kind of the creative side came out as opposed to the doctor, professional, serious side. But we were at Disneyland a couple days ago, and someone said, "Did you hear Country Rose left Disneyland?" And I was thinking to myself, like, Country Rose would be a really fun name to have because it would bring out my creative side again.
Great. Yeah, you know, a lot of us get to learn in this program about a whole different side of ourselves that we didn't even know existed. You know, for example, my writing. It happened because I was fired from a job. I was devastated. And I had nothing to do, so I said, well, I'll finish my PhD dissertation. So I got my doctorate, and then someone said, you should rewrite this for a popular audience. I did. I went on Oprah 3 times and became a national best-selling writer. Now I'm a writer. I never, ever expected to be writing. So your best ideas are not always what the other voice needs, see? So if you're in conflict and you're torn and you're ambivalent and all that, yes, celebrate it. Find out who's there, who's talking, what's going on. And you may find out somebody saying, you better take action on X, Y, and Z. And you can say, thanks for sharing. Not ready to take action, but it's good to at least know what I'm sittering over, what I'm struggling with. We're not tough guys. You know, I was talking to someone the other day about that I had confronted someone about codependency with her son, and my friend said, you know, we also knew that we were being very codependent with our son, but we couldn't do it any differently. And boy, did I understand that, you know? And when my first husband ended up in jail for his alcoholism, here I was, a professional counselor. I had helped treat Betty Ford at the Navy Hospital. I knew a lot of stuff, and he called me from jail. And I couldn't breathe. And I said, I can't pick you up. And hung up the phone. Doesn't matter how much I knew. To do the right thing was terrifying. I immediately had to call my sponsor, you know? So just because you find out what might be a good result doesn't mean you have to take that road. You can live with, thank you anyway, not yet. We just may be done. Sort of feels done to me. You can email me if you have more things you want to discuss. I'll get back to you.
There's one thing that you said earlier about the food as it being like punishing ourselves, like a slap in the face. And I also heard in what you said that also slapping down that voice, slapping down that song. Because that's what's been happening with me a lot. Like I feel a lot of my song is waking up and new things are developing, but I'm scared. I want to slap it down. It feels too scary to tap into that. So I don't know, that just came up as we were doing our songs.
Thank you. Yeah, that's why this is a dangerous program, because it does encourage you to start hearing and then listening. But like I just said, you don't have to take any action. You just have to know what you know. You know, why not live that way? Why live in a fog? But my worst times with food have happened in the good times. Not the bad times. People say, oh, I ate because I lost my job. I ate because of it. That's not me. When there's danger and crisis, I go into ninja. I am the best person to have when there's a crisis. I am focused, and I take care of business. We were just in India, and a terrible thing happened, and Henry was sick and laid out in the airport, and boom, 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 boom. Took 19 hours, but I got us out of New Delhi. But I'm okay. I'm great, great in crisis. I was trained in that. I was a battered child. I'm a street kid. I was trained in all of that. Easy, facile. But this stuff about being happy, joyous, and free, being successful and respected, and having a nice, moderate life and relaxing, I didn't ever have a clue on how to do any of that. I still don't. I'm getting really good. I won't say I still don't. I'm getting very much better at all of that. I'm growing into who I've become. I believe it. I believe it now. Long after you believed it. I remember going to a meeting I used to go to down in Torrance, six ladies. I went there for months saying, you know, maybe I should get my PhD, but, and this was, you know, early women's movement. I said, I can't get a PhD. I already have a master's degree, and that's already castrating to men, you know? This was my thinking. I can't. I'll never find a man if I get a PhD. If I'm a doctor, I'm supposed to marry a doctor. And I'm going to be the doctor? And quietly, nudging, not a lot of you should, no shooting on me, but with a lot of encouragement, which comes from heart and courage, people said, well, why not? Why not you? Okay? And I got a PhD and helped thousands of families. I was just thinking that the person I visited, remember I said when I drove into LA, I stopped to visit an older man that I knew? He was a friend of mine who had just gotten a book published. And I said, will you take my proposal to your agent in New York? And he said, you know, Jude, and this was way before all the writing that's going on now. This was back, I think, in the early 80s. He said, you know, Jude, only one in 5,000 writers ever gets published. I said, well, let me be the one. And he took it, and bam, bam, the guy wanted it, boom, my book came out. So how do you know stuff? How do you get courage? You've got, you know, you better get on the horse and the direction that it's driving. Or else don't complain if you have a saddle horn up your buddy. Right? So, that's all I can say. Now, the thing is, to learn these wisdoms that I have given you today, really all you have to do is show up. You know, somebody told me, her daughter argued, why are you going down there? She's too far to drive. She said, I think I need something. And she got what she needed. You know, you don't have to know anything. Just show up. That's why I love that I wasn't into personalities or fellowship. I could just drop in and sit in the back of the room and drool. Okay? And that's what I needed. I'd never had that in my life. I was always a performer and a winner, working the crowd, you know? And you were a group of people who just let me sit and drool until the real voice could come out instead of her. And I gave up lecturing long before I fully retired because I felt, even in recovery, that she was showing up again. I was performing. I was going through the motions. I was giving lectures I'd given for years, and they were boring to me. I was playing the crowd. It didn't feel good. And that's why I told you this morning, I so love that I'm presenting material I've not presented before, so I can be excited and grow and learn. I can't wait to hear the tape and see what we did. You know?
Might I suggest a Q&A?
Sure. We've been doing Q&A all day, but yeah, of course. I'll stay as long as you want. I just was thinking we're winding down. Yes, sir.
I just got from you and from the name thing that the whole point for me is that I also get to be anonymous to myself, and I get to, like, forget all the things I pretended and really was good at.
Right. Yeah, but I think that's important that you said you were good at it. Hello, here's another loss in recovery. the personality that won you friends and influenced people, the success story may have to get modified somewhat. If you are seeking a higher spiritual self, it may not be the same lady who walked in here. And that's a loss, and you have to grieve and gently lay her to rest. You can't just exorcise your old self out of you. You have to carefully tease out the good parts you want to take with you and the parts you want to leave. And like I just mentioned, recognize when you're slipping back. Because I want to be authentic. I want to be honest. I don't want to be playing to the crowd. It's boring. I know how to win friends. Who cares? Really.
Just expand on the topic of relapse. I'm feeling a little confused about that.
So you're making a question, will I expand on the topic of relapse because you're feeling confused about it?
About what the
definition is. All right. The simplest thing is when in doubt, leave it out. You know stuff. If you and your sponsor, again, you don't trust your own judgment, but if you and your sponsor feel that you've relapsed, you probably have. What I've been trying to encourage all day is don't buy into anyone's definitions of anything. Listen, I wrote the books. Trust what I had to say. Why? Why? It's your life. It won't matter that that guy calls it a relapse and the other one calls it a slip and that one says you binged. And who are we playing to? We're here for our own lives and to be honest with ourselves. So I don't want to make light of your question. Stop looking to be defined by others. That's the whole point of what I've been saying all day. You go within and you listen and you know stuff. You know, I wrote about a story, a Sufi story, in one of my books about this father says that he's going to give his inheritance to the son who can kill a chicken and not get found out. So the first son goes way out in the woods, kills a chicken, comes back to court and says, "Here, I killed it." And this guy in the court says, "I was out hunting, and I saw you kill the chicken at the edge of town." Okay. Second guy comes in. He says, rode out to the middle of a lake. Comes back. He says, "Here, Dad, I killed a chicken, and nobody saw me." And some guy happened to be out there, and he said, "You were out on the lake. I saw you." The third son, who they thought was the stupidest son, comes running in and his eyes are all ablaze and he's hysterical and he's holding a dead chicken and he said, "The chicken knows." So your chicken knows. You know in your heart of hearts. And so what? So I had a binge. Yes, next. So what? What does that mean? Drive back to Los Angeles? What does it mean? I can't get it, seriously. I want you all to stay in the question, not have an answer. Let's stay in the question. What the F are we talking about with all these things, these labels? I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm codependent. I'm a binger. I'm a slipper. I'm a taster. I'm a grazer. I don't have enough drawer space for all those T-shirts. By the way, none of you better walk in here with my clothes. I brought a lot of clothes to that boutique, and I'm trying to get rid of them. I don't want to see them again. So I'll see you at our next meal. Thank you.
I'm Adela. Thank you so much. Santa Clarita, New Hall.
Oh, neat.
Yeah. You know, Peggy Hogan.